It's That Other Masonic Podcast. Here's Jared Adkins and Todd Whaley.
And welcome back to another episode of That Other Masonic Podcast. Brother Jared Adkins.
Brother Todd Whaley.
We're recording today graciously thanks to the warmness of the heart from Line Lodge 743 in Jasper.
Absolutely.
It's good to see that we have a good relationship with the brothers and the other two lodges in the county. We've recorded at Huntingburg before. Today we're at Jasper.
Yep.
Bird's Eye was unavailable.
Occupado.
The lodge room was occupied.
Fellowship hall.
Technically, we could have went to the lodge room, but Todd and I feel like that's kind of tacky. You don't interrupt some event that somebody has going on. So
man, someone's going to walk in. What are you guys doing?
Yeah, we put out a call for help, and the good brothers at Line Lodge said, oh, yeah, just lock up, turn the lights off when you leave. So, yep. All right, well, we're getting ready to get a guest. We're going to have to go get her here in a minute. But we're going to sit down over the phone and you know, one of the things that we've become notorious for over the last year and a half or so is we really like to focus on the other organizations of Masonry. I'm not mm-hmm. talking of pennant bodies. I'm talking about the youth groups like Job's Daughters, Rainbow, DMLA, and we also like talking about the women's side like the Star. So today we're going to talk a lot of Job's Daughters with a special guest who actually her family is from Bird's Eye, but she lives in New Albany.
Albany.
Yes, she's a school teacher and a wonderful, wonderful woman. And we're going to go get her. And we're going to just put everybody on ice for a minute. And the magic of radio.
Won't
even know we're gone. We'll be right back. And looky there, Todd. We're back and they never even knew we were gone. The magic of radio.
Didn't have a clue.
They didn't even know that we were gone for like 35 minutes. We went out and shot some hoops in this cold winter weather.
Bull crap.
Okay. No, we went and got our guest. And as we said, you know, one thing we've become known for recently is the way we want to focus on the youth groups like Job's and Rainbow Girls and DMLA.
Well, just all the dependent bodies in general.
And so we're going to talk today with Tammy Watson, who is a wonderful, wonderful person. Did I tell you?
Nope.
She is Bird's Eye local. She doesn't live there anymore, but is... Her family, her father, lives just right down the road from the lodge building, like 30 seconds down the road. Just
oh, nice. Bloop.
Tammy, how are you?
I am good. Thank you.
Thank you for agreeing to do this. We, you know, we usually feature Job's Daughters and Rainbow and DMLA at Founders Day. Unfortunately, this year, Winter Storm Blair impacted a lot of people coming to Founders Day, and yeah. We didn't make it this year.
Yeah.
But I want to talk a little bit about Job's Daughters, and you spent quite a bit of time, I don't even know what the word is, managing, overseeing Job's Daughters. Like, what you did that for a period of time. What did you do exactly?
Last year, from June of 23 to June 24, I was in the position that we call Grand Guardian, which is the adult sort of president for the state.
Oh, wow.
So you're over the whole state of Indiana.
Yes.
Wow. Wow.
It was a great experience.
Let's talk about that. First of all, I guess I should back up. I'm going to try to follow this like we do when we interview the Masons, but how and why did you get involved in Job's Daughters? How did that come about?
Well, when I was a kid, my mom and dad were both members. Dad was a Mason. Dad was raised in Bird's Eye Lodge. And then later down the road, transferred up to Jeffersonville 340. And they were both an Eastern Star. Mom and dad were worthy matron and worthy patron. And a couple of years after that, I was told I was joining Job's Daughters when I turned 11.
Right.
Wasn't given a choice. That's okay. Best thing that ever happened to me. So I joined when I was 11 and was a very active member up until I was 20. And at 20, we majority out. So I became no longer a voting daughter at that point, but then worked with the council, which is the adult part of it.
Okay.
So I did that for several years. Took a little time out. I had two boys, and we did not have an active DMLA chapter at the time. So they did not get to experience the Masonic youth groups, unfortunately. They did Boy Scouts, which was good, but was not my first choice for them. but they did. So they did that. And a little while later, we decided to adopt our daughter from China.
Right.
And because we had, you know, weren't going to have a biological daughter. So, you know, and I had to have a daughter because I had to have a Job's daughter.
Right.
And
right.
So
absolutely.
That's how it works. And so when she was about 7 or 8, I started getting active again and took over at local level at our Sellersburg Bethel as Bethel Guardian. So, and then from there, I've just worked with, worked through what we call Grand Bethel. And then at about 5 years, it was right before COVID, I got elected into the Grand line to be Grand Guardian, which was normally a 4-year process, but because of COVID took 5 years.
Oh, wow.
You know, Tammy, one of the things I wanted to point out, and I'm going to try to follow a format. Sometimes Todd and I don't always do these in chronological order, so there could be a lot of jumping around. But when we did Founders Day 2023, we sat down with Owen Vermillion from DMLA, and then we thought, well, if we're doing that, why don't we talk to Jobes and Rainbows? Well, then that's kind of become a thing. You know, I've spent a lot of time talking to you. I spent a lot of time talking to Lynn Shoulders, Rocky Myers, you know, and I said, you know, we feature these kids at Founders Day, but we want to do more centralized episodes on that. So when we were trying to figure out what we're doing, which you can attest, I've been all over you for 6 months or better, but like, hey, I want to have you on the show. Hey, I want to have you on the show. We just never been able to make it happen.
Yeah.
But so, you know, I know everything is to the best of my knowledge, to the best of your knowledge. So we're going to ask you some questions about some stuff today. And one of the things I want to point out is you're talking about these youth organizations. For somebody out there that might be a Mason, that might be interested in getting their daughter involved, what is the difference between Rainbow and Job's Daughters?
I think it's a lot of similarities, honestly. The main difference is with Job's Daughters, the Job's Daughters wear a robe for most of the meeting. It's a white, what they call a Grecian gown, for most of the meetings. We no longer have to wear those at every meeting. We're allowed to skip like 5 meetings a year where the girls choose not to wear those. But the biggest difference, really, what I've noticed is it's a regional thing. If you took a map of all of the Job's Daughter Bethels and then took a map of the Rainbow chapters or assemblies, they don't necessarily overlap a whole lot.
Really?
So, of course, I'm sure there's some interlap or overlap in the Indianapolis area.
Oh, I would bet. I would bet so.
I would say, yeah.
So, but, you know, used to be, I guess it was, there were just more with each other. And the crazy thing is when I was in Job's Daughters, long time ago, we won't say how many years ago.
Never.
We had a Rainbow Assembly that met in our same building. But the weird thing is that we never did any activities with them. We never talked to them, nothing. It was almost like a rivalry. It was very strange. Now I don't see it that way. I think now we just try to help each other, and many of our Job's Daughters, if they live in an area where they are near an assembly, actually also belong to Rainbow. So in fact, one of our daughters that I know of, that is a past Junior Miss Indiana Job's Daughters, I believe she is a worthy advisor right now for her assembly. So
You know, we've talked to a few of the girls the last couple of years, and some of them ended up friending us on me and Todd's individual face accounts. Like the one that pops to mind the most is Keely Rowe, and I absolutely love Keely to pieces. She is such a wonderful, smart, educated young lady. There was another one, Sophia. I can't remember her last name. Sophia added us on social media. These girls, I don't want to put too much pressure on, but like, you literally look at them and the things they're talking about and the things they're doing. And that is one great thing about having parents like you and guardians like you guys are and everything, because the social media pages for Rainbow and Jobes and everything, they are very well maintained. Mm-hmm. They're very active, which puts out there in the public. These girls almost exemplify, like, this is the equivalent of how you should be, how you should act. And you can see when they're up there giving speeches and they're talking, like, these are confident, well-spoken young women.
Yeah, they got stuff put together.
They are. Yeah, it's amazing. And it really does. That's the biggest thing with I'd say any of the youth groups. You know, I mean, Job's Daughters made me who I am today. It's, you know, I'm able to lead and do these things because I was an honored queen, you know, and I've led through being an honored queen. I've led through Grand Bethel with the committee. There's a Grand Bethel committee. I've been chairman of that twice. You know, it builds that skill that you just can't get that everywhere.
You know, Tammy, you know, to be involved with one of these organizations, I would assume, but with a caveat, you know, here I go. Like, before I get into that, let's make an example. Like, here in the state of Indiana, to be in the Eastern Star, you have to have like a brother, a father, an uncle, grandfather, whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, when we did when we did our first full fledged Eastern Star episode, we did it with our friend from social media, Erica from Rochester, New York.
New York, yeah.
And she said in New York's laws, they don't need that. Any woman can join.
Right.
Well, mm-hmm. I assume, here I go assuming, but in the state of Indiana, to join one of these youth organizations, you have to have a father that is a Mason. Am I correct?
Not any longer.
So there is a change.
There is a change. And I was discussing yesterday with my daughter. I can't remember when that change happened, but it hasn't been a terribly long time. They did remove the Masonic requirement. The way it is stated now is that they prefer a Masonic relative when you join.
But they're not requiring it no more.
But it is not required. So they are sponsored.
You know, I support that because that opens up inclusion to everybody. Mm-hmm. I know, Todd, that, you know, we've reached people worldwide with this show, which still baffles me that two Southern Indiana rednecks have a show that gets international downloads as well as downloads all across our country.
It baffles my mind every day.
But you know, I know we'll have traditionalists that'll be like, well, Masonry needs to stay within the bounds of Masonry. And you know I'm right. There's going to be some people listening that's going to say that. But I believe without these youth organizations, you're not – to me, the youth organization – and not every Mason comes from a youth organization. I didn't come from it. I mean, it can only help the fraternity in the long run. And that's why
– it can only help.
Yeah, and that's why we made this such a point that going forward every year, we wanted to talk to these youth organizations. We wanted to talk to Rainbow. We wanted to talk to DMLA. We wanted to talk to Job's Daughters. And – what's amazing to me is that when we've had people message us, well, I heard your episode you did at Founders Day. What's Job's Daughters? What's Rainbow? What's DMLA? We don't have any. We had somebody message us one time, message me personally, a Mason from Mississippi or Alabama or Georgia, one of those three, I call them the triplet states, saying we don't have that organization where I live. What is that? And then I'm like, well, and I'm trying to explain it, which I'm not good at explaining stuff, which is amazing to think about when I work in the radio business. But
yeah, if y'all know, you don't know.
But, you know, Tammy, for somebody that's listening that might not have those, what are these organizations? Their sole function is to, in my mind, if somebody asked me, I'd say it would prepare young women to become better women. The best I would say.
That really is a good example. it's basically to prepare them to be tomorrow's leaders for society is the only way that I can think of. It just teaches values for respect for our elders, respect for our country, respect for our laws, and to be a good friend. And it just helps form that sisterhood that you carry with you your entire life.
So that basically means the tenets of the order is, you know, something what you just said. If someone can go through, learn what Job is, to go through the process, you teach them that, you know, it's about being a friend, have respect for your elders, laws, the government, and everything.
Yes.
That's basically what Jobstar teaches the young lady who gets involved into it.
Yes. And like with any other organization, the more you do with it, as we always say, the more you get out of it. It's just, that's how it is.
Tammy, now in the state of Indiana, what is the age requirements to join Job's Daughters? What is the quickest you can become involved with this?
As little girls can officially become a member when they're 10, but many of the Bethels have activities for young girls that are 7 to 10. In that range, we call it a B program. And we try to do little activities. Like at our Bethel, we do activities once a month where we play board games and things, and we invite the younger girls to come and participate with these activities with us so that they can get to know the girls so that when they turn 10, they can't join. And it kind of helps them out with that.
That's almost like a junior, almost like a preschool program. I'm thinking, yeah, like a bridge to, because, you know, I was thinking about this, you know, I'm a divorced dad, you know, Rachel and I are, you know, compared to when it ended, which we won't get into that, but compared to when it ended, we've got on pretty solid footing now. And, you know, as you well know, Todd, two of my three kids are girls.
Right.
My oldest daughter, my middle child, my 10-year-old, she'll be 11 in March. She's all about the lodge, always excited when we get a swing by the lodge. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking maybe I might have a future star member on my hand at Bird's Eye one day. But I was thinking if we had something down here, which that's another reason Tammy's on here today, because I want to, you know, we do a lot of the what ifs on this show, and I want to see what would be the process to get something started. Because correct me if I'm wrong, Tammy, but we talked at Grand Lodge last year. I sat there and I talked to you, and I talked to Keely's mom, Lori, and I talked to Rocky Myers a little bit, and I talked to Lance, talked to everybody.
Yeah.
I think that there's really nothing south of like that Floyd Clark County area. There's really no Job's Bethels kind of south of that area, is there?
There are not. We actually, in Indiana, we only have 14 Bethels, period. Mm-hmm. That's it. 14. Used to be 135. We're down to 14. Actually, let me rephrase that. 15. One reinstituted, actually, as we speak. There is a Bethel being formed in, I believe it's Greenfield. Right now they're having a ceremony. The only... There's a Bethel in Bloomington.
I bet there's multiple in Indianapolis. Yep, so I was going to say.
Yeah, there's like 3-4 in that greater Indianapolis area. Mm-hmm. But then our Bethel is down here in Sellersburg. That's it.
Wow. See, that's for us, Todd, where we're at in Dubois County, the southern part of the state, mm-hmm. the closest to us. I mean, you could say Bloomington, but also to me, that Floyd County, Clark County area is going to be about the closest. And you'd think with Evansville having six Masonic lodges, I think it is, and Newburgh's got a Masonic lodge, and, you know, Boonville's got a couple, and all, you would think that in Evansville, at least, there would be one.
I only had Rainbows or Job's in Linville, but that's been years ago, so...
Tammy, do you know off your hand, is there any Rainbow chapters south of that? I know I talked to Lynn. Isn't there a Rainbow chapter down there around that Evansville-Princeton area or not?
I am pretty sure there are several down in that area, if I'm not mistaken.
So Rainbow's got a little bit of a foothold, but not Job's.
Yes.
That's interesting.
the last rainbow when I was in Job's, again, just a few years ago.
I love you for that.
I know, because I'm only 20. I'm only 22.
That's right. That's right.
But that's right. We're going to go with that. No, but there used to be, we had a Bethel that I remember in Corydon.
So that's Harrison County.
Yeah.
So see Harrison. That. So Harrison County, that would have been a good one. But you know, we can start a Bethel. We just have to have enough interested girls, and you need a good pool of adults who are willing to step up and take council positions.
Right.
So now that's something and I wanted to ask you about. You know, let's look at that a little bit about. Let's say hypothetically we were gonna form a Bethel and we were gonna put it here in DuBois County and have people from the surrounding mm-hmm. county. So when you talk about parents getting involved, can these be dads as well, or is this just a mother's, you know, because you talked the term guardian. Can dads get involved in this as well?
They can. The Bethel guardian does have to be a woman. Okay. And then all other council positions, there's an associate Bethel guardian. That has to be a man, and it has to be a Mason.
Kind of like Eastern Star, there's got to be a Mason present at all the Eastern Star yes. meetings.
And the Bethel Guardian, the woman, has to have Masonic relationship at this point. So those two positions have to have a Mason or be a Mason. Also, then we have a secretary who is the adult that keeps, they keep track. It's sort of like the lodge secretary. They keep track of all the dues and yeah. All that secretary kind of stuff. They do that. And then there's a treasurer who manages the financial books of everything. And then we have a fifth council position, which is the director of epics, which we call a prompter, or they basically just, you know, are prompting the girls through the meeting when they say their parts. Or it can be a director of music. So those two are optional, you know, substitutable, I should say. But so you have to have, you know, some Bethels don't have that many, but a good council will have your five. And then there are lots of other support positions that parents who would like to become involved can take.
So how many girls does it take to fill the officers' chairs?
It is either 18 or 19. I'd have to count it out.
That's, I did not think it would be that high.
Near every bit seven or something.
It's huge. Well, and I think part of that is back from in the early days of Job's Daughters, there were so many girls. Like Bethels would have 100 members at a time.
Yeah.
And so they would, I guess they created a lot of offices so that many could be involved. And so then the girls would be members for like, or an officer for like 6 months, and then they would take a term out. So the term of office is only 6 months,
okay.
So that they could have more time to get more offices in. So, but nowadays, you know, my Bethel, we have one daughter. Well, we have two daughters, and that's pretty much it. Wow. And it's, we don't have enough to open a meeting. You're supposed to have five to open a meeting.
Todd, you know my rule. I don't ever want to say that a lodge or an organization is dying because I feel it's disrespectful. So we're not going to say dying, but we're going to say it's in, let's think classic rock. It's in dire straits. How about that?
Dire straits.
Well, maybe it's, you know, I'm just, you know, going to give an opinion here, but maybe it's time to change the way the, you know, maybe lower it down to 5-6 members.
Well, it's but think about this, though. Where we're at in the world today, technology is the best it's ever been in anything.
So far,
social media drives the world. What rotates the world is social media. We've already followed these because me and you, we have our own individual Facebook accounts.
Right.
But we also have a Facebook page that we both run. Right. We have followed all the Rainbows and Jobs and Demolay and everything. So we see how active they are.
Some of them are, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what's the issue?
Well, there's so much more for kids to do now. Would you say so? I mean, you got to remember back when, you know, even when I was a kid, you know, say back in the mid-80s, late-80s, you know, I didn't have a...
You got 10 years on me, you old man.
I didn't
man.
Have a basketball team. I didn't have a soccer team. I had baseball in the springtime and intramurals during school. That was it. I didn't have a thousand class. I didn't have gymnastics class. I didn't have, you know, all the stuff that kids are involved in now. Where now there's just so much more for kids to do now than Demolay, Joe, Rainbows, or anything like that.
I know for a fact that I realized, Tammy, and you, and as a former Job's daughter, and especially as a past grand guardian, you would agree that this is a huge commitment of your time, right?
Absolutely.
Well, I know that I could make the time to get Briley involved in this, and I'm sure Rachel would let me, but this would be a huge amount of time. Do you think that maybe the reason some of it is you know, not as full as it used to be is a commitment issue? Because you think about all kids are involved in now. You know?
Yeah, they don't have time to put one more thing. But again, it comes back to when my daughter was in. My daughter's 19 right now. She's still an active member, but she goes to college. She was involved when she was in high school. You know, she did Job's Daughters, but she also did marching band. Mm-hmm. She did dance. She did robotics club. Oh, wow. She did FCCLA. You know, she did all these other things too because she wanted to and she chose to. And she excelled at all of them. But I think so many people, especially since COVID, don't want to make, again, those commitments. They're afraid of a commitment. They're afraid of, you know, being responsible, I guess, for things.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, I don't know if that's it or not. I mean, we have two meetings a month. Most of the Bethels and... Our Bethel meets on the first or second and fourth Mondays, and that's it. Now you can do other activities,
right?
You could plan fun activities, and to me that's the fun part. But I think when it comes down to it, girls have, you know, we have our meeting and it's boring.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same way in Lodge.
Well, that's what we're going to say. You know, we've never been ones to throw shade at the fraternity. But if you look at Freemasonry as a whole, what is one of the biggest complaints that we've seen across social media and in the Lodge rooms across all Lodges for the last 5 or 6 years is, I hate sitting at a stated meeting. It's boring. So how do you, you know, and we're not crapping on anything. We don't do that, but we're stating on what we've been told and what we've seen. The general consensus is, you know, I'll pay my dues every year. That's fine. But I don't want to come to these. They're boring. I don't want to talk about bills.
I mean, guys come to degree work. Yeah, think about it. Guys come to degree work.
But they won't come to a stated meeting.
Because degree work's fun. You know, you're going to have a good meal. You know, you're going to have some good, you know, laughs during, you know, in the in-between times of degree work and everything.
Good fellowship.
And good fellowship. Well, why can't we have that at any of our stated meetings?
Because people are afraid to facilitate change.
Nah, I don't think that's much.
You know, Tammy, we were talking about this, and, you know, what kind of things would look like to get a Bethels. Where do the Bethels meet? Do you guys have to meet in Masonic lodges, or do you have to have your own? Like, what's that process like?
I guess technically we don't have to. In Indiana, they all do. We have had some Bethels run out of lodges before and told to leave.
I hate to hear
that's
that.
That's a whole nother podcast. But
that shouldn't be an issue, though, because you know, not everybody that joins Freemasonry comes from the youth organizations, but the whole point of the youth organizations is not to make the youth better, but to help the fraternity have constant, in theory, members always joining. And to say, you know, that there's been Masonic lodges that have ran Bethels out of, that breaks my heart to hear that.
Well, there could be other things going on too.
Right. I'm just saying, though, but
they're trying to run everything and tell the lodge how to run everything whenever, no, we tell you how to run everything. It could be stuff like that.
It could just be
it could be a personality conflict.
Right.
More than
anything. Absolutely.
It's nothing to do with the organization itself. It could be the personnel and the personalities.
Just two people. Sometimes people clash. They just don't.
Yeah, and that's every organization. You have 1,000 personalities you got to deal with. Some people have multiple personalities. I'm convinced of that. So you got to deal with all of them. And it's that could be a situation. I don't know for sure, but you know, it's I can see it happening with some or they just sharing a building like
but
that.
Getting back to that, so in theory, you would not always have to meet in a Masonic lodge.
I wouldn't think so. I've not seen anything on that, but they always do because you know they meet in the lodge room,
right?
And they have to have that set up. With the altar in the middle.
What did past Grandmaster Roger Van Gordon say? When their lodge was going through stuff, weren't they meeting at a building that was owned by, like, the Rainbow Girls or something?
They meet at the Rainbow Girls.
They give them a little bit of money as a respectful, like, rental fee. But the Rainbow lets them use their building for lodge. He said something about that, didn't he?
Yeah, that's where their lodge, Farmer's Lodge, meets there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was.
Oh, okay.
It's out by Edinburgh. I can't think of the name. Let me look it up real quick.
Yeah, because Rogers are a redneck.
I know what you're talking about. I've never been there.
So that's just... So you wouldn't even have to necessarily have a lodge.
No, you could meet probably anywhere.
As long as you could... I'm assuming, you know, you'd have to... What we considered a tiled lodge, I'm assuming they have to have a way to tile their room or whatever. But you could do it... Then, now, Tammy, with organizations like Job's Daughters,
the Rainbow Girls Camp.
It's a Rainbow Girls Camp. Okay, let me see that. Yeah, Rainbow Girls Camp. Okay,
that's where Van Gordon's Lodge meets.
Now, Tammy, with organizations like Job's Daughters and Rainbow and DeMolay, how much involved is Indiana Grand Lodge with these organizations? Because it seems like every year at Founders Day. And during Grand Lodge, you know, there's usually lots of photo. Like, I follow your guys' social channels a lot. And there's always events throughout the year where Grand Line officers are always present. Does the Grand Lodge have a big, you know, presence in these organizations?
Not that I've seen. They do, you know, they do wonderful donations each year, as does the Indiana Grand Chapter for Eastern Star and several of the subordinate bodies do financial donations, which is greatly appreciated, let me tell you. But as far as them, you know, they'll attend installations occasionally, but we don't get many visitors in meetings. Usually it's the parents and that's it. We don't get chapter visitors. We don't get even local lodge visitors, we don't get a whole lot of that.
Unless we
specifically invite them and say, you know, yes, we're having a meeting to honor the Eastern Star, or we're having a meeting to honor the Masons, and then we invite them and we might get one or two, if that. So I don't see a whole lot of connection with the Bethels and the lodges. I feel like our Bethel does pretty good because three of our men are my husband is our associate Bethel guardian. Well, he also just went out as worshipful master. Okay. And two other of our active council members are active lodge members. So that's wonderful, but you don't see that everywhere.
I forgot about your husband being a Mason because now I remember seeing you post on your social media about him.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. He is a Mason. So you're surrounded by it, whether you know, everywhere you go.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk a little bit. Go ahead.
No, it's good.
I wanted to talk a little bit, you know, too, on this episode. It was just kind of bringing attention to some of the things that Job's does every year and that they're a part of. I know during Grand Lodge, this is how much of a great worshipful master I was last year, Todd. I handed you or whoever proxy and I said, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. Somebody vote for me. When really I just wanted to get out from the auditorium because it was super stuffy and hot. So then when I was supposed to be voting, I appointed myself a proxy. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that or not.
Yeah, I don't think you are.
Well, it's already happened. But I ended up going out on the mezzanine, and that's where I hung out with Tammy, and I think Lori Rowe was there, and we started talking. You guys have several events that you put on every year, and if I'm not mistaken, if I'm remembering correctly, don't you guys have kind of like your own version of what we would call Grand Lodge for us Masons? Don't you girls have something every year that you do like that?
They do. We have every year in June, we call it Grand Session.
That's what it was, Grand Session.
Grand Session. And so we typically we hold it on either a college campus. A couple times we've held it up at the Seasons Lodge in Nashville. But our Grand Council, the adult part of it, they hold their annual business meeting, election of new officers, and then the installation of officers, and then Grand Bethel, which is you have to be a past honor queen to be in Grand Bethel, basically. Okay. And then they have their installation of officers at that. And then they have, sometimes they have music competitions and they have art competitions and different things like that to get the girls involved. But that's held every June. And then in the fall, depending on the month, we do what we call Joe-barama.
Ooh, so I like that. Joe-barama. I like that.
Name, yeah. I like yes, it.
It's fun. Joe-barama is a weekend retreat, and it's just an all-fun weekend. You know, we just hang out, play games. They have different little scheduled activities, and it's a that growing up, Joe-barama was always the highlight of of any of my memories. Joe-barama was the highlight.
I love that. I that so fun. Love that. Joe-barama.
Yep.
Yeah, Mason-arama. Yep. Something like that. Free Mason-arama.
Yeah, you need to do it. Lodge-arama.
There you go.
But, you know, we do, gosh, they do. There's so many other activities that we have throughout the year. And, you know, then we do fundraiser activities to raise money. Job's Daughters, when I was in Job's Daughters in, I think it was 1984, we started in the international level, they started HIKE, which was hearing impaired kids endowment, but now they call it hearing improvement kids endowment. But we raise money internationally.
The girls were talking to us about that at Founders Day last year.
Okay.
When we had the podcast, they sat down.
I sat out at that one, so I didn't remember it.
Yeah, yeah, you were working the room. I did that one. That was 2 years ago. It was Founders Day 2023.
Right.
Yeah, they talked about that. That's one of their big, big things, the hearing improvement thing.
Yes, that's a huge thing. And, I should have looked up how much money we've raised to date. It's a huge amount. And the person who is the overall chairperson for that is from Indiana, Tiffany Ingalls. So she's a big part of that. But we raise, our goal every year is to raise around $10,000. And that goes straight to that. And that money all goes to helping children purchase hearing devices of whatever sort that they need.
Oh, wow.
And a lot more than what we raise actually comes back to Indiana on that, because we have, there's an audiologist in, I believe, the Fort Wayne area that is really big on having their patients apply for the grants for that. So
that's awesome.
Where we raise, you know, $7,000 to $10,000 a year toward it, there's much, much more of that that comes back to Indiana children. And you don't have to be related to Masons or anything to get one of those grants. You know, you just have to be a student a child in need, you know, that one of these audiologists recommends.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great.
See, it's stuff like this that the youth organizations are doing.
And it's just, see it. Nobody in Lodge sees enough of what they're doing. And I think a lot of times it's our fault for not looking at it, but it's, you know, sometimes you guys need to beep your own horn and let us know about this stuff.
You know,
yeah.
Something I want to say to both of you, and one thing that Todd and I always try to do is we always try to be as open and honest with every listener on this show. I mean, you should be open and honest with everybody as a Mason.
Mm-hmm.
There is a Mason who I'm going to let remain nameless. Yeah, I know you're looking at me like, where's this going?
Uh-oh.
There was a Mason who shall remain nameless. So we first started this stuff with Job's Rainbow and Demolay at Founders Day 2023.
Right.
at Grand Lodge last year.
Okay.
During one of my mini trips to go outside and hit the vape or whatever, and we're just, you know, in between sessions. Cause it is a long day. This was during the lunch session, all that stuff. Somebody pulled me aside. I don't know this Mason personally. I know who he is. He's a Northern Indiana Mason. When I say Northern, like, I mean Northern, he could be in Michigan in probably like 30 minutes, like that far up north. He said, I want to tell you something. He said, I really enjoy the stuff you guys do on the podcast. And I've said, oh, thanks, man. This guy friended me on Facebook and everything. You know, he's like, I really enjoy when you and Todd sit down with youth organizations. He said, because I feel like the youth organizations don't get enough attention. He said, and that's not the fault of anybody. He said, that's not the fault of Grand Lodge. He said, that's not the fault of any lodge in particular. He said, that's the fault of all of us as Masons and fathers. We've not done enough to help these youth organizations. And he goes, so when you have somebody like you that uses your platform, and I said, with all due respect, I said, I don't know how big our platform is. He goes, well, if you're hitting podcast numbers that are as good as what the Scottish Rite is, he said, that's a big platform. So it means a lot to me to sit down and do these things and for Tammy to come on and talk to us about it because, you know, a lot of people may have thought about, you know, putting their daughters in things like this, but they don't know how to get involved. So what I'd like to do now, if it's okay with you, Tammy, is, you know, if people are kind of on the fence about whether they should sign their kids up, can you go through a little bit of like what your experiences was as a, not just as Grand Guardian, but more specifically when you were a kid going through Job's, like what was that like? Like how exciting was it? Was it overstimulating? Like, can you tell us a little bit about it?
I really liked it. I mean, I joined when I was, it was 11 was the range at that point in time. And so I joined when I was 11 and immediately took an office and I played piano. So I kind of got stuck as the musician after about six months. And I was musician up until I went up the line to become Honor Queen. And then after I became Honor Queen, I was back at musician for the whole rest of the time. So the only office it's like being secretary. Once a secretary or always musician, a secretary. Always a musician.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's how it is. Because there aren't that many people that do it. But so my experience was probably a little different. A lot of the girls, when they join, they try to take a different office each time because they want the experience of having several different offices. But the advantage also is that if you have a girl that has a lot of anxiety, if she wants to keep the same office every time, then we will find a way to make that work. You know, we've got some of the offices have a lot less speaking parts than others. And so they might not be comfortable saying a whole lot out loud during the meeting because every daughter does have to stand up and talk.
Right.
During each meeting, that's, you know, they have a what we call a stations and duty that they do.
Right.
I don't know if Lodge has something like that.
Yeah, but we have something
where they
like
stand.
That.
Okay. Yeah, I know Eastern Star does. So, you know, they have that part that they have to memorize, and you know they are supposed to stand up. Now, if a girl has a handicap of, you know, like a disability and that, or what, you know, those accommodations are all made. Or if a girl couldn't memorize, then we would find a way to let her read it. But the expectation is that you read it. So that was always the nerve-wracking part, you know, standing up in front of everybody and talking. Or for me, it was being really nervous to play the piano in front of all the people. And I can remember driving to the lodge, or well, when I was a kid, we had a Masonic temple down in Jeffersonville that is no longer used. But when we were going to the temple, I would be so nervous, my hands would just be wet with sweat, and I would get, you know, just dry them off and get down there and play, and you know, little things like that. But but yeah, so the meetings, we had the meetings, The girls planned the activities. That was the cool part. The girls run the meetings. The council is just supposed to be on the side to supervise, advise, and the girls run things. So that's it. That's to where it builds that leadership. It teaches them planning skills, and I think that's one of the things that I took from Job's Daughters the most was being able to plan activities and to know if you're planning something, you have to look at all aspects of what's needed. You have to make sure you get everything ready. And I think had I not ever been in Job's Daughters, I wouldn't have been able to do that.
Now you can't do that. I mean,
yeah.
You don't see all the pages you have to turn sometimes when you're setting up an event.
You don't.
That's true.
And it really helps you look at things like that. So, but yeah, that was a lot of it. It just building the friendships. And I think my favorite part of Job's growing up was just not that most of my memories were of Bethel meetings. I mean, I definitely have some that stand out, but it was more of what were the other things that we did. You know, we had slumber party.
Right.
We had car washes. You know, of those activities.
What 11, 12, 13-year-old girl doesn't enjoy having slumber parties with their friends? Oh, my God. I'd pull my hair out of one of those things.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Our girls always want to do that now. I mean, our lodge, they let us have slumber parties at the lodge.
Oh, that's a unique idea. That's pretty cool.
And
church shed or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we've done all kinds of fun things like that. But, you know, it's just building the friendships. And, you know, I have so many friends in Job's Daughters now that were in Job's Daughters with me. And, you know, I'm almost 54, and they are still amazing friends to me. And they've been friends forever.
For a long time, yeah.
Don't look a day over 22, Tammy.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. But what I'm hearing from you, though, is that this thing, it helped, which, I mean, I know your dad's a well-known name in the town of Birdseye in DuBois County, but I know, you know, your parents are well-respected people, so you already came from good stock. You was already an honest, respectable person, but basically what I'm hearing is that it took what you already were and made you even better and built even more character and helped prepare you for many different things you were going to face in life.
I think it did. Absolutely. Without a doubt.
Well, and that's the thing. That's why...
I wish more girls would be involved in it. I wish my daughter would get involved in it, but I asked
her
about
it. Again, with you know, two of my three kids being girls, my two youngest being girls, you know, my six-year-old, and I'm not, I mean, you and Tam both see my social media. I'm not saying I play favorites with Riot Grace.
Yeah, you do.
She's the baby, though, so it's different. But Briley's 10, almost, Briley will be 11 in 2 months. Briley gets excited anytime we have to go to the lodge for anything.
So is Ava.
And she wants to get involved in stuff like that. She goes, when can I join lodge? And I'm like, well, honey, it's you could join something that's kind of like lodge, but you've got to wait a few years.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking if we had one of these things down here, and again, I know, as Tammy mentioned, there is a rainbow. There's some differences between Rainbow Girls and Job's Daughters, but they're both working towards the same thing. I'm just saying, if we had a Bethel down here, I think I would put her, you know, get her involved in Job's Daughters. But as Tammy said, that is a huge commitment of your time. And I can only imagine kind of where I'm segueing here.
Yeah, like 20-something girls to get it going.
Well, yeah, we work on that. But where I'm segueing here is, tell me about the process of how you became Grand Guardian, because to hear you talk about it earlier, that means that you were basically the head woman, the head mom for Job's in the state for that year. So how does that happen? Is there a direct line? Do you guys have an election? How is that process?
Yeah, we have in order to be eligible to even be elected, you have to be a past Bethel guardian in of a local Bethel.
Right.
So once you are a past Bethel guardian at the local Bethel or associate Bethel guardian for the men, then you can become involved at the state level with the executive, and you do have to be elected. There is a line of succession from when you're first elected that kind of mimics the stations in the Bethel. So in the Bethel, to become honor queen, your first station in what we call the line is marshal, and then guide, junior princess, senior princess, and then honored queen. So in the Bethel, the girls have a 5-station line. For the grand officers, for the women, there are 4. So there's grand marshal, grand guide, then there's vice grand guardian and grand guardian. So then there are also men positions that partner with those. So those 4 positions go progress up to become the grand guardian. The grand guardian, you know, is the top one. So you have to be at the annual session at grand session. We have an election at our business meeting, and so you stand up and aspire. And then you're elected by the body. And not as many people stand up anymore. You know, it's not as
not something that everybody's trying to get involved with, basically.
Yeah, because it is a time commitment. And people, you know, and it's expensive. You know, when you go up that line, I don't even know how much money I spent. Probably $15,000. Of my own money.
That's a huge commitment.
It is. And, you know, I tried to do it as cheap as I could. And, you know, and I did get support from the Widows and Sons. They gave us some money, a little bit of money, which was greatly appreciated. Jake Higgs was my associate grand guardian, also from our Bethel, which is the only time that's ever happened, that the grand guardian and associate grand guardian were from the same Bethel.
That's cool.
So, yeah, Indiana Job's Daughters has been open for 100 years now. And that's the first time that had ever happened. And, of course, I'm getting sidetracked. But
that's okay.
But I didn't even know he was going to run for it. In fact, he wasn't even there. He couldn't be there that weekend, that year. But here's I guess where I was going with it is we're kind of getting to the point where people don't even want to stand up to be that office. We have been having repeats of people. And we're very grateful for the people who do recommit themselves, but we have had years where nobody stood up to be in it's happening more with the men's positions. And so the person who is currently associate grand guardian right now, he's already been associate grand guardian. This is his second time. And that's kind of, to me, a sign of what we're seeing. But anyway, so Jake was elected, and I didn't even know he was going to stand up to be elected. He wasn't even there. And he sent a letter with Jason Raykamp, one of our guys. And so he read the letter, and it was a big shock that we were both from the same Bethel and didn't even know it was going to happen. But I don't know where I was going with this, but
that's
anyway.
Okay.
we do it all the time. Don't feel bad.
My mind goes, but I know what else I was going to say. At the Supreme level, because, you know, in Indiana, of course, many states have Job's Daughters. There's several other countries that have Job's Daughters. So just like it, with Lodge, they have a grand level. At Job's Daughters, we also have what we call a supreme level, which is the international level of all Job's Daughters. And we have had years, and we have had vacancies in that supreme line because it is such a huge time commitment and monetary commitment that people don't want to do it. And so people, there was a couple, was it last year or year before, one guy actually did it 2 full years in a row.
That's a huge amount of time to devote to this, but I get it.
It is.
Because I can hear it in your voice when you talk about how proud you were to serve as Grand Guardian.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I mean, it was such a... I said the only thing I could relate it to was the proud mom.
Right.
And I had never seen that until I was Grand Guardian. And then part of my responsibility, or the responsibility as the Grand Guardian, is you visit every Bethel twice a year at least.
Dang.
And then we have lots of activities that we have throughout the year. We try to do different fun activities every month, dances, and again, Joburama, Grand Session, those are all things that we plan.
Still love Joburama.
I do. I love that Joburama thing, Tammy. I do.
It is. It's great. Yeah, Wisconsin has a really good one. I've not been to that, but I've heard it is even better than ours. But
it's the greatest name ever.
You get to know all the girls, and you know, you just help them be the best that they can be and encourage them. And I felt like a proud mom, and I didn't know that experience until I was Grand Guardian. Yeah. And that was just a surprise to me that I got that feeling from it. But I think it was even more special because I was a Job's Daughter. And you don't have to have been a Job's Daughter to be Grand Guardian, but I would say many of them were, if not most of them. So
Tammy, off the top of your head, if somebody out there is listening right now, which technically nobody's listening right now.
Not right now.
You know, we're not live to tape. But, here when this airs back here in a few weeks, whenever it is, you know, if somebody out there is listening, off the top of your head, I'm sure you have plenty of information to give. If anybody's interested in, you know, possibly starting a Bethel or joining one, you know, at any location, whether it be in Indiana, and I'm sure there's, you know, or in other states, where can they go and find some general information at?
There are a couple websites. There is an international website which has the overall general information about Job's Daughters. That is jobsdaughtersinternational.org. So you can get on that website. That has some links to find Bethel. So, like, if you want to know where a Bethel is near you, that helps you find that.
Okay.
My earbuds all out. Sorry.
It's okay.
You'll have to cut that part. Okay. So it's www.jobsdaughtersinternational.org. But also, Indiana, we have a website also, and it is www.injdi.org, and it has information on all the local, Indiana local activities that are coming up, who are the officers right now, what Bethels there are, where those Bethels are located. It also has lists of the names of all of the past Grand Guardians, the past Grand Bethel Honor Queens, past Miss Indiana Job's Daughters. So there's all kinds of information on there, but that's our site that we do keep that up to date. Every year we keep that it's constantly being updated with current events. Like if there's contests coming up or scholarship, we offer a lot of scholarships. Overall, there's information on, there's always information changing on that. So they can go in there, look at that information, and really they could reach out to anybody. I believe we've got a link on there that says, you know, if you would like more information, contact. But the people that are, any of those people, we can get you hooked up with if we want to start a Bethel. It's not a difficult process. It just takes a little bit. And, you know, probably if you could get, I think it's like 10 girls, that would be enough to start a Bethel. If, you know, if you could get enough. Because you do not have to have a full corps of officers. Hmm. To have a Bethel meeting.
Well, that changes things a little bit there.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
It does. So, yeah, we have the availability. But, again, you only have to have 5 daughters to open a meeting.
Okay.
You know how it goes. Girls get busy. They can't come. And,
wash their hair and do their nails. We know.
I know. So, you know, if you could get 10 girls willing to make a commitment, and, again, it's 2 nights a month. Meetings take a couple of hours. I wish they'd cut some of that back. And we actually are getting ready to switch to a new ritual.
Mm-hmm.
So that is going to be cut down just a little bit. That we are trying to modernize things and kind of come up with the times a little bit. And so we literally just approved a new ritual at the international level that goes into effect April 1st.
Ooh, teacher, pick me.
Yes, Jared, go ahead.
See, look, for all the Grand Lodge officers listening, see, even Job's daughters is getting an updated ritual before we do.
Yes.
1997, bud, 1997.
You're talking about a monitor, not a ritual.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
You give me a headache.
Yeah, we
you
know actually, that? They redid the...
Not you, him.
Yeah, we actually redid the ritual in 2011, and now we're doing it again. So, just saying.
I'm just throwing that out there. You know, I heard, we heard what Dave Morgan said, and he's local. The Grandmaster is local. He's one county over. You know, he's like, So, again, as I've said in the last few episodes, I'm not taking credit for this change, but my ego refuses to allow me not to take credit for this change. So, to all Masons listening who's potentially getting an updated ritual or monitor, you're welcome. See, Todd, this is how change happens. You get on the blowtorch, and you hump it dry every episode. Can I say hump it dry?
Your head can't get any bigger. Okay? So quit.
I'm going to have to walk sideways to get out the door later. So, Tammy, the last question I really have for you as we start to put a bow on this. See, I told you this wouldn't be so bad.
No.
The final thing I have for you is it's a two-part question is, you know, for any parents out there that have been listening, any Masons that have been listening and they've been on the fence, you know, what would be the final thing you would say to them to get them to get their daughters involved in this? And then the other thing, how would you summarize what Job's daughters has meant for you and has done for your life and all the countless young ladies you've seen come through the doors? I mean, if you can give me anything on that.
What was the first question?
what would you say to convince some fathers out there, some families that's kind of on the fence about, like, what would you say to them? Be like, look, this is why you need to get your child involved in this.
Yeah. Do it. It is such a wonderful organization that provides so many valuable skills, friendships, opportunities to, it's endless. I mean, it's just like in Lodge where, you know, there's the networking that naturally happens. And that's the same for Job's daughters. It just makes them a better human, a better person, and it helps them grow to be a strong woman that is not afraid to stand up and speak her mind and to lead with change. That's just it's so valuable and so important. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. I really wouldn't.
That's awesome.
What was the second question?
Basically, you know, just kind of summarize, you know, what Jobs has done for you in your life and, you know, what it's, you know, how important it is to you and, you know, what it's meant to see all these young ladies you've seen throughout the years and,
yeah,
you know, just kind of characterize essentially what is Jobs to you.
I mean, Jobs to me is my life. I mean, when I bleed purple. I mean, nice. We joke about that, but my whole existence, I'm looking to see if my husband's listening. He teases me, but I mean, honestly, my whole existence is Jobs Daughters. And it's not like that for everybody, and I get that. But everything that I am today, including my marriage, it's from Jobs Daughters. Everything. Because I met my husband. Only reason I met him was because I was told to join Jobs Daughters. Because my friends who got me in Jobs Daughters, who were in Eastern Star with my mom and dad, went to church, and I didn't go to church, so they took me to church, and that's where I met my husband.
Well, amen.
And I mean, and then, you know, of course I had to bug him and say, hey, you got to join Lodge. And it only took him 30 years to do it, but he did finally join. And, I'm organist and choir director at my church, which is the same church that I went in because I joined Jobs. It's all, you know, it's just been, it has been my entire life, just doing the activities and sharing those friendships and the opportunities to grow, and especially with the young girls. And it, you know, through being an adult worker now, being able to encourage these girls and to be that extra support for them, because they might not get that at home.
You're right.
They might, and they, a lot of them don't. And they need somebody to say, you are somebody and you are worthwhile. And I see that as my job. My job is to let them know that they are valuable young women. And they're so important. They're important not just to the Bethel, they're important to Jobs Daughters, and they're important to me. And that's what I think is the most important thing with being involved in Jobs Daughters. You know, that's what I took out of it. People cared about me, people loved me, and I always know if I ever have a problem, if I'm ever anywhere, I could reach out to one of my Jobs Daughters family members and they will help me. There's no doubt. They will.
You know, at one point, correct me if I'm wrong, but you are or were a public education teacher, correct?
I currently am. Yes. So I've been teaching for 32 years.
That's the other thing I was thinking about. Like Jobs Daughter, like, so you get this almost twofold, because you get the satisfaction as a teacher, you know, and some of your Jobs Daughters mentality bleeds off into your teaching mentality and vice versa. So, like, in a way, you get that proud factor almost twice over, don't you?
I do, and it's wonderful.
I can hear the smile. Let me give you a little clue about working in TV and radio. When we, you know, when I do the radio news or when we're on air, or especially when we're recording the advertisements, they always say, hear the smile. So you can literally hear the smile in your voice. You have to hear it. So that's awesome, Tammy. That really is.
Yeah, you definitely hear
and
that.
I've had some of my students be Jobs Daughters. I mean, my daughter's best friend was actually a student at school. And I got to talking to her, and she joined. And they're all still good friends. And sometimes that happens, you know, not usually, but sometimes my students join, and it's always fun when that happens. They get to see me not as Mrs. Watson, but they get to call me Tammy, and they think that's funny.
Oh, nice.
That they get to call me by my first name, you know. But
it's
good
time.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I had one student at my last school. She would see me. She would always call me Tammy at school. And she'd just look at me and grin because I didn't have her in class, but she was at school. And she just got the biggest kick out of being able to call me Tammy because she knew me outside of school.
That's so cool.
I used to have one of my buddy's moms. She would substitute my elementary school back when I was a kid and never failed. Every time I walk in the room, she'd myself like, hi, Angie. It's Mrs. Brandon. I go, since when?
It's funny. It's like seeing teachers outside of school when you were a kid. It's like seeing a dog walk on its hind legs,
pretty
man.
Much, yeah.
It's like, oh my God, we're seeing a teacher. The teacher buys groceries like we do?
The sad part is
all
my
we're
teachers.
Real people.
Yeah.
I see my teachers at the bar when I was of age and everything. I still call them Mr. and Mrs.
Hey,
to this day, I still do.
You know, I told you about that little side gig I'm working on.
Yeah.
My old prince, he's a principal now. He's my old teacher. He's like, you know, you can call me by my first name. I'm like, nope. Mm-mm. No, I can't. I call still address him the same way I did in high school. I said, I can't do it.
Yep.
He said, please. I said, nope. I said, that's just not. Nope. Can't do it. Well, Tammy, thank you so much for being a part of this today. I really wanted to do a sit down interview talking about your experiences as a past grand guardian for Jobs last year. And especially, you know, just to talk about Jobs in general, especially because we couldn't get up there for Founders Day this year. And we look forward to that 30 minutes every year where we can sit down with Jobs and Rainbow and DeMolay and Rocky Myers. If you're listening, you still owe me an episode about Jobs' daughters. So, Rainbow, excuse me. I haven't forgot that. So, I think the world of Rocky. Rocky is a wonderful, wonderful man. So,
yeah, Rocky's a good dude.
Yeah. So, Tammy, thank you so much for being a part of this today. And I especially love the connection because, you know, just, you know, right down the road, you know, almost.
Yep.
So,
yep.
So, thank you so much for being a part of this today. And, yeah.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
All right, Tammy. Well, you have a wonderful day and we will speak to you soon.
All right. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, Todd.
That was a good one. I liked that one.
That was good. That was another first.
I mean, I would love my daughter to get involved something like that, but I've asked her, and she said she didn't want to do anything with it. I mean, I wish she would, but.
It would be great.
I think
Briley's going to end up. Well, I say this now. She's 10. Who knows where her attitude's at in 8 years. But
when she turns 11, things might change.
Well, she gets excited about. She goes, when can I join Lodge? Well, baby,
you
can join something similar to Lodge.
First, you go to Belgium, but then we can't talk about
it. So what a great episode with Tammy Watson. Of course, her family. You know, Tammy lives in Jeffersonville now, but she grew up, you know, right down the road, literally 30 seconds from the lodge. Yeah, 30 seconds from the lodge. So
we owe town a bird's eye.
So this has been another episode of That Other Masonic Podcast. I'm Brother Jared Atkins.
I'm Brother Todd Whaley.
We got a few more to come here doing a wonderful session here at Line Lodge 743 in Jasper.
Yep.
Bird's Eye was unavailable today.
You'll have that.
But we still got a couple more episodes to come, some good stuff, and we'll catch you on the flip side. Deuces.
Thanks for listening to That Other Masonic Podcast, Indiana's first Freemasonry podcast. Be sure to check us out on our social media channels, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. The views and opinions expressed on this show belong to Brother Jared Atkins and Brother Todd Whaley and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Grand Lodge of Indiana.